We've begun this series looking at the riches of God's grace. And I was just mentioning this downstairs as somebody came up with using grace as an acronym. And I'm not sure who to credit this. I don't know, but this goes way, way back. Yep, God's riches at Christ's expense. And when you think about that, there's a lot of truth, and it's pretty powerful, that acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. And I was thinking about Dave's new series that he's preparing. It's going to go hand in hand with what I'm doing, looking at the riches of God's grace, because without that substitutionary work, we would not be able to benefit like we do of the riches of God's grace. And so let us pray, and we'll get right into this today. We're going to continue to talk a little bit about the decree. We've been working on that for a couple weeks, and I want to survey through a couple things just to give you a little bit of a scheduling of the decree. There's eight things that we want to schedule in the decree. And I want to just cover that a little bit today, because then we're going to take some of those things one by one in the following weeks. And so I think by doing this, it'll give us a little better understanding of it and our part in it. And so let's pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your goodness to us, for the time we've had in your word. We're grateful for those that are here and the time that we're able to share together. And we pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct and bless as we continue. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so the riches of God's grace. And I've been pivoting for a little while now off of 2 Corinthians 8:9. And let me just read that again. As Paul's writing a carnal church, he says, "For you know," and it's experientially know, "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes," and this is just on account of you, just on account of you all, "he became poor." He impoverished himself. And then he goes on, it says, "in order that you, through or by his poverty, might become rich." Rich, wealthy. You know, how many Christians are there that don't realize how rich or wealthy they are, or don't value what they have in their spiritual bank account? And so when you think about that, you know, and think about that acronym, using grace for that acronym of God's riches at Christ's expense. For us, there was no cost. There's no merit involved. It's undeserved. It's unmerited favor. But for God, for him to grace us the way he has graced us, for it to be in line with his nature, the substitutionary cross work was necessary. It was essential. And so we've been talking about the decree a little bit, and And so I keep changing the wording a little bit each week. And this week we'll just say the believer is specially in the decree of God. Specially. The believer resides in the decree of God's plan. And so we're consequently in the decree of God. We have a special place in the decree in which the things God has determined is revealing things about his nature. And we have a role in that. We have a part in that. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is and what he's determined. And so that goes back to the decree, the council. The boule, the council just means the thing determined. And so the thing determined is a result of a council. And so in eternity past, there was a council between the persons of the Godhead. And they determined the things that would happen, and that became the council or the decree. And so when you think about that, all three persons of the Godhead, they share the same nature. And so they share the same nature and essence, yet they're three persons. And so you have three persons with desirous wills, and they can be different, but yet they're all in harmony. They're in complete harmony. But there's three separate persons. And so they came together in council, and they agreed to carry out a plan. They determined to carry out a plan. And so we can see from Scripture that ultimately the plan that they settled on was the Father's plan. It was his plan that they determined to carry out. And so I probably would go to Ephesians 1:3 or 1:4 as a place to kind of demonstrate that. There's other ways to do that as well. But as they came together, because they all share the same nature, the same attributes. Last week we surveyed through some things looking at the essence and the attributes of God, which is what makes up God's nature. And they all share the same nature. And so there was, when they came together in council and they shared their desirous will, if you will, they were all completely in harmony, and they were all perfect plans. All of their potential plans would have been perfect. Yet they settled on one. The decree is one decree. It's one thing determined, one plan. It has many parts. And so when you think about the decree, just remember the decree is the result of God determining a plan. Determined a plan. And something also to think about, something that we can really look forward to as we go forward into the ages of the ages, is the decree ultimately reveals all of God's nature. All of God's nature. And so you can see why an infinite God revealing his nature to finite beings. This is going to take a long, long time. And we reside in the decree. And so it's mind-boggling when you think about that. And so So we wanted to start with the nature of God. So we started with the nature of God, his essence and attributes makes up God's nature. Because it's from the nature that desires come from. And so when the persons of the Godhead came together, they had desires from their desirous wills, but it's sharing from the same nature. So they're completely in harmony. There's no no conflict. But it was out from those desires that which they determined came from, or the decree. And so the desires come first, and it was from those desires that are a reflection of the nature that came that which is determined, or the decree. And so we kind of showed this last week in Ephesians 1:11. And so you can see there, and we'll be back in Ephesians 1:11, so we don't need to go there right now. But the thing that's been determined, the decree, it's one decree, but it has many, many parts. And salvation is just a part. It's an important part, but it's just a part. And so it's not all of it. When we start talking about, for instance, election doesn't always deal with salvation. Salvation is a part of election, but there's other things that God has chosen and elected that don't deal with salvation. Maybe when we get to election, and that might even be next week, depending on how I do communicating today, we'll look at election. And I want to start with election. We're not going to shrink from the doctrine of election. It's an important doctrine. It's one I'm convinced that we can't truly understand our role in the decree. We can't give God his full weight if we don't have an understanding of election. So we want to understand it in its proper place. Now that leads me to the series, The Riches of God's Grace. And so you could look at Lewis Berry Chafer's list of the 33 riches of grace in Christ Jesus. And some of what I'm going to do is going to follow similarly. I think in his first point, he has in the eternal plan of God. And then under that, he has number one, foreknowledge. And so, and I don't want to follow that order, foreknowledge. Because when you have foreknowledge before election, so that's what he does. He has election after foreknowledge. It opens up a lot of potential misunderstandings about God's decree. So before I even get started today, I want to take you back to just show you where some of that comes from. Some of those that want to make election down from God's foreknowledge. It comes from a mistake in some of the translations back in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:1. And so I wish I could put on a screen behind me, or I could put an interlinear in everyone's hands to show this. But in 1 Peter 1:1, there, you know. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then in verse 2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, the according to reflects the Greek preposition kata, which basically has the root meaning of down from. So when it says elect in verse 2, according to, down from his foreknowledge, it means it's that election was basically from his foreknowledge. If we understand scripture that, if we understand it that way, it opens the door to thinking, well, God knew us beforehand, and he elected us accordingly. And he chose us because maybe there was some, he knew what, how we would respond. It leaves the door open for individuals to think there's something inherently good, that God made the choice. Well, you know, the Greek doesn't reflect that. The Greek doesn't support elect according to the full knowledge of God. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, elect should be actually up in verse 1. And this is where I wish I could show you the Greek here, because it says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. There, elect goes before the word strangers. He's addressing to the elect sojourners of the dispersion. That's, so if you have an interlinear, you can see that. And so here, the thing that the foreknowledge connects to is the fact that these believers were of the dispersion, not elect down from his foreknowledge. So a lot of misunderstanding of election can come right from this place in Scripture. Now, I've mentioned it a few times in the past. I've always thought the ASV is a pretty decent translation. And as I was looking at some of the translations, I noticed that the ASV actually makes the adjustment on this verse. The ASV reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect who are sojourners of the dispersion. Put it in the proper place grammatically. And so I just wanted to show you there right off the start where some of the problem in scheduling the decree can arise from. It's just a misunderstanding or back there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And so today we want to continue with scheduling the decree. I believe it's going to help us with our understanding and our part in it. And so as we consider the decree, to start, there's 8 items related to the decree that we want to schedule or put in its proper order. And so we've already considered the first 2. And so if you remember back in Ephesians 1:11, when we looked at that last clause, that we were able to put together that it was from God's desirous will came what God determined. And so God's desirous will is the larger term. It was out from many desires that he settled on one plan and determined to carry out that plan. So the determination or his counsel or the decree comes from his desirous will. And so let's go back to Ephesians 1:11. Now, as we consider some of these verses today, we're looking essentially at 8 terms, and that we're going to kind of put them in the right order. And then in the following weeks, we're going to go back through some of these a little more thoroughly. And so, as I mentioned, I want to come back, and we're going to start with election. But in Ephesians 1:11, we have 4 terms that relate to the decree dealing with our salvation. And so these aren't going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we're going to go fill in the rest. We have to go to a number of verses to kind of put them all together. And so I thought about using the whiteboard today, but I don't think I can do it well. So I'm not going to try and use the whiteboard. I'm going to try and just take us through some of these verses. And then as I have access to a printer, I have an idea for a graph where I can show you the 8 terms in order. And then I can give you some verses next to them with the words that relate and where they plug in. So hopefully I can follow through with that. I first need to get a printer moved and hooked up. We're working on that. But let's go into Ephesians 1:11, and I'll point out these 4 terms that relate to the decree. It says, in whom also we obtain or have been made an inheritance. And so here we come across the first word that relates to the decree, being predestined. And so I guess I should take a moment here and talk about the word predestined. Because in the English, that can be thought of in a lot of different ways, but the Greek, this word just literally means having the bounds or limits marked off beforehand. And so this is going to be one of the terms that relate to the decree. And so here we see being predestinated, or just having the boundaries or the limits marked off beforehand, according to the purpose of him. So here's the second word, the purpose of him. The purpose has the idea of a setting forth of a thing, a placing it in view, a purpose, an intention. And so here, the according to is our Greek preposition kata, which, remember that the base meaning of kata has down from. And so here in our scheduling of the decree, one thing we can see is that the marking off of the bounds beforehand is down from his purpose. So when we begin to schedule the decree, we're going to put marking off the bounds below his purpose. And those we're going to see here, or both of those, are below what he's determined in his desirous will. You see that here coming down further in the verse. Now I'm starting to realize that this whiteboard may have been, even though it would have been awkward, it may have been helpful. But we'll get the chart in your hand, and we'll have time when we go through these individually. At least some of these we're going through individually. And so here we see that which is being marked off the boundaries beforehand is down from his purpose, who works all things after or down from. And so all things down from the counsel, that which what he's determined from his desirous will. So if we just take Ephesians 1:11, it gives us some structure. We know that it starts with his desirous will, which is connected to God's nature. It was from those desires that he determined, that which he determined, a thing determined, his plan, he determined. And then it's below those. We don't know where in the list, but we do have 2 other things, and we do know that the marking off of the bounds was down from his purpose. So what I have in mind is in the chart, we're going to have 8 items, 1 through 8, vertically. We're going to have fellow or desires, will is going to be in the number 1 slot. boule, or that which he has determined, or the decree, will be in the number 2 slot. And then from this verse, we don't know where these other 2 go, but we do know that the marking off of the bounds goes underneath purpose. The marking off the bounds is down from his purpose. So that's the basic information that Ephesians 1:11 gives us related to the decree. And so there's four terms. As I mentioned, there's eight terms that we're scheduling in relation to the decree for our purpose here. And so so let's go to another verse. And we'll just back up to Ephesians 1:5. Because Ephesians 1:5 is also going to give us a number of words related to the decree. Three, in fact. Three. And so in Ephesians 1:5, we have the word predestinated again in the English, which we've also, without commenting a lot on, I've mentioned predestination isn't the greatest word to reflect the Greek here. And so I'm changing that just to having marked off the bounds beforehand, us unto son placement through Jesus Christ into himself, according to or down from his good pleasure. And so here we see another term introduced that relates to the decree, good pleasure. And so good pleasure, it's a Greek compound word. It just literally means to think or suppose well. Good pleasure is probably a good translation. It has the idea of goodwill, satisfaction, a good approval. And so with the three we have here is we see that that according to the good pleasure of his will, of his desirous will. So again, we start off with desirous wills in the number one slot in scheduling the decree. Now we are going to have the good pleasure, which is down from that will. And so we're going to slide, for our purposes now, we're going to slide goodwill into the number three spot in the decree. So we have God's desirous will, his desires that come from the nature. It was from those that what he determined, has determined, the decree came from. And it's from the decree that God, that which he determined, has good pleasure. He has good approval. Satisfaction is the idea. That which God has determined in his plan gives him satisfaction, gives him good pleasure. As he carries out his decree in time, it's a perfect plan and he's completely satisfied. No, for time's sake, I won't go back there, but we could go back to Isaiah 46, I think it's verse 10 or 11, and just be reminded that that which God has determined, with that which God has decreed, it will be carried out. It will be carried out. And so it gives God's decree, it gives him good pleasure. He's completely satisfied with it. And so we have, and we see that the marking off of the bounds here in Ephesians 1:5, by the way, is going to fall under somewhere under good pleasure. We don't know just where yet. But in Ephesians 1:5, you have three terms that relate to the decree. Now we're going to come to our fourth term, or I guess this would be our sixth term. We have four in Ephesians 1:11. We introduced a new one with Ephesians 1:5. And so this next one would be the sixth term we're going to introduce, is election. Is election. Where does election fit in when it comes to the decree, the scheduling of the decree? Well, just the word election is just the, and a lot of people get, they just get a little silly when it comes to election. A lot of people just, they don't like the word. They don't like the truth of election. People want to hold on to the fact that they chose God. And so election kind of wrestles with them in that regard. And so election, it just literally means the act of choosing out. In the Greek, it emphasizes choosing out. And so the verbal form means just literally to pick out or to select out, to choose out. And so it has the idea that there's some still left of the choosing out. Now, when it comes to the decree, in relationship to the decree, it's looking at God's choice of some out from fallen humanity or the human race to be saved. God has chose some. And this is part of his decree. So we're going to find out some interesting things. And we need to know this. If we want to give God his full weight, if we want to have a true appreciation for the riches of God's grace, it's better for us to see it as God sees it. And so election. And so let me just, before we go to the verse that relates to the decree in terms of election, let me just take you back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. I'll pick up in verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, or I would just translate it ablative here, your work coming from faith and labor of love and patience coming from hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. And the of God is just stronger in the Greek. It's your election by God. Hupo. Directly by God. That election goes back to an act of choosing out. There was a selection out in each believer's election from God. Now, where are we going to put election in the decree? Well, I'm going to tell you now, as we put all of this together, I can't prove from scripture for sure where good pleasure goes. I put good pleasure in the number 3 spot of the 8. You could potentially put it and reverse it with election. You could put election in number 3 and have good pleasure in number 4 without any harm to the grammatical construction of the verses we're looking at. I was going over my notes and my Dr. Schaefer notes, and he said he struggled with this one many times. And he was kind of leaning towards, at the time that he taught the class I was in my notes, I have it written down, that he was leaning towards having election in the number 3 with good pleasure in the number 4. But it could go either way. He typically wrote it out with good pleasure in the number 3. I noticed, I was thinking, I'll just have to share this because time goes by so fast. And I was thinking, I shouldn't cover the decree. Dale just covered that not too long ago. And then I just wanted to see what Dale did in one section. I came across some filing. I pulled it out. And Dale did a form paper on the decree. And I think it was like a dozen years ago. maybe 11 years ago. And I was thinking, like, I don't want to cover this again. It's just been covered. Yeah, 12, you know, 10 years ago at least. That's how fast time flies. So I'll share that with you. When I make the graph, I'll probably make a little note in there. The verse that we're going to use to kind of help us put election in the proper place in the decree is over in Romans chapter 9. And in the context here, it's looking at God's choice, if you will, or election of Jacob over Esau. And so it's Romans 9:11. And so in the King James, we're seeing this word according to, and I keep mentioning it, but that's reflecting the Greek preposition kata, which when you understand the base meaning of kata goes back to, it's a standard of measurement, or we could translate it down from. And so in Romans 9:11, it just reads, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to or just down from election might stand." And so here we have two words, and this is going to help us to have purpose underneath election. And so for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God down from election might stand. He says, not out from works. Ek preposition, not out from works, the quality of works as the source, but rather out from him. Out from the one calling. Out from the one calling. Now, calling, I should go ahead and add that, is another term. And so that's going to be our seventh term we want to bring into the equation. And so I'm going to tell you now, if you've got your eight going, we're going to put calling in the number eight slot. Calling's going to be the number eight slot. And so we'll see that a little more here in a minute. So we have election. So as of right now, as we're scheduling this, we have God's desirous will. From that, the thing that was determined, the boule, in the number two slot is the decree. And now these other things are going to fall under that. And we have God's good pleasure, number three. Gave that which God determined, it gave him satisfaction. And under that we have election. God chose some out from a fallen human race to salvation. And then we have purpose. And so now we have purpose that's going to come under election. And so purpose, it's interesting when you think about that, the purpose comes down from election. Remember, purpose has the idea of a setting forth. The word purpose, I didn't show you this, we didn't go through it, but the word purpose in the Greek, sometimes it's translated showbread. It's a thing set forth, a placing it in view. A purpose, an intention. And so God, the things that God determined gave him good pleasure, and he elected some out from a fallen human race. He chose some out from a fallen human race, and that became his purpose, his intention, his thing that he set before him as in view, and that he was going to accomplish these things. So that gets very, very powerful. You want to talk about security? Let's talk about where purpose falls in the decree. And so we have one last term to bring in, and it's going to fall in to our number six slot, and it's foreknowledge. So remember, we showed you in 1 Peter 1:1 that that's not accurate. In 1 Peter 1:2, that election is down from foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is actually down from, in our scheduling, is down from election. Now, this foreknowledge, we're going to see it used. And the word foreknowledge, it has the idea just to know beforehand, to know in advance. And so the foreknowledge, it stems from the decree here as it's used. And so we're going to go into Romans chapter 8 now. And we want to pick up in Romans 8:28, a couple things we've already been exposed to in Romans 8:28, purpose and called. And so in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are loving God. And I know in the King James it just says to them that love God, but it's actually a present participle, and I think that's important here because the present participle is talking about spiritual Christians that are directing the fruit from the Spirit, agape love, that other-centered kind of love that takes delight in the well-being of others. Taking that delight in the well-being of others. It's other-centered. And so who are those that are loving God? Who are they? Well, we can trace this back to the ones that are loving God in the present tense. They have to be Spirit-filled Christians. It's not going to be a carnal Christian. They're not going to be loving God while they're carnal because they don't have the fruit, the filling at that time to be able to direct it. And so it's a Spirit-filled Christian, but it's also a Spirit-filled Christian that is fulfilling the new commandment. Those are the ones that are loving God, the new commandment to love one another. Christ says, as I have loved you. And that's important. He was the God-man. We can't love like he loved without the filling from the Holy Spirit. And so let me show you that this is connected to the believers loving God the Father. And so let me just go to 1 John. And we'll just go to 4:21. There's a number of places we could use to illustrate this. But in 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who, King James says, loveth, and again, it's another present participle, that he who is loving, just the one loving God, loves his brother also. Loves his brother also. And so that's how, anyway, that's a little sideline from our decree. A focus here, but in going through Romans 8:28, I can't help connecting some of that. And so going back to Romans 8:28, when Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that are loving God, to them who are called down from his purpose. And so here we have two words. Purpose and call that fit into our scheduling of the decree. And we can see that called, according to, means just literally down from. So called is going to be underneath his purpose. And so so Romans 8:28 helps us to keep things in the proper order. Now in Romans 8:29, we're going to get introduced to this concept of foreknowledge. for whom, and so he's explaining, it's not explanatory garb, but it's a hockey clause, just because whom he did foreknow. And so to know beforehand, to know in advance. He also did, and so then we come back to a word we're already familiar with, predestinate, which we've already talked about. It has the idea of marking off the boundaries beforehand, setting the limits beforehand. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did mark off the bounds beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so now we're going to pick up in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did mark off the bounds, them he also called. And so here we see the logical order. And so it's from God's foreknowledge that he marked off the boundaries. And so he marks off the boundaries or limits to ensure that which he's determined will come to be. And so everybody that was chosen out from the fallen human race by God to salvation, that became God's purpose. And then down from his foreknowledge, God the Father, through his foreknowledge, he marked off the boundaries. He set the limits. I'm sorry, Raul, you don't fit in with this one. And whom he marked off the boundaries, them he also called. He called. And so calling is in the eighth spot of our scheduling of these eight of these terms that relate to the decree. And so the calling is the divine calling to salvation. It's a divine invitation, if you will. And so God marks off the boundaries, so each one that he's chosen is going to arrive at God's calling. I've talked to many people that may have had some interesting things happen prior to when they were saved, where it seemed like there was a guardian angel involved, or you know, some things that happened that got to them to where they received that invitation, that divine invitation, that calling. And that calling in the New Testament is always to salvation. It's a calling to salvation. And we know in this dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, it's through the gospel that we're called. And let's just illustrate that in over in 2 Thessalonians. And we'll go to chapter 2. And we'll pick up in verse 13 and 14, I think. Here Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to the God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has from not the beginning, but a beginning, chosen you to salvation. He's elected, he's chosen you out to salvation by sanctification through the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you, and it's not by our gospel, but it's through our gospel. It's through the instrumentation. Whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I wanted to do is just survey through some of these words, just give you a rough idea of some of these meanings and their order. We're going to come back to some of these things that relate to our salvation. Starting next week, we're going to look at some things related to election, because that's going to be the first thing when we're looking at the riches of God's grace. We know that we are specially in the decree of God. We reside in the decree. And we want to start with the election. And so we're going to come back and we're going to pick up with the election. And we'll work down through some of these things in the order that we've scheduled them in the following week. Let's call this. Father, thank you for grace. We're thankful for the riches. We're thankful for the Son. We're grateful for his substitutionary cross work that makes this possible. We're thankful for our place in your plan and purpose. And we pray that your Spirit would continue to illumine our minds to these things. May we have an understanding that enables us to have a further appreciation of who you are and what you've done on our behalf. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.